Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. You should send your questions about cleaning, or anything else really, to joliekerr@gmail.com. My guest today is Tim Herrera. Hey, Tim.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Yay. So glad to be back.
You just, like, turned that frown upside down. Poor Tim rolled in here. It's like a disgusting rainy day. He has a sinus infection.
We can say it. My cat died this week.
And his cat died this week. I was like, I want to see the personal tragedy.
No, it's fine. My life is in shambles. Yeah, it's okay. Everything's going wrong.
I'm so sorry about the cat.
It's okay. R.I.P. Tracy.
I know.
My adorable little tuxedo cat died this past weekend.
Oh, it was so sad when I saw that on Instagram.
What am I going to Instagram now? TBH, that is the real tragedy.
Well, you still have another cat.
Streets.
So
Tracy was a showman, though.
Yeah, there always is a showman in the cat fan.
That was his role, yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you'll figure out things to Instagram.
Yes.
Maybe your food. Right. Maybe your gym clothes hanging around the office of the New York Times.
Absolutely. That's great content right there. We can go there. Let's do it.
you guys, I hope we'll remember Tim from, I think it was episode 97?
Yeah.
That you were on?
Yeah, in December.
Late in December. Mm-hmm. Tim is one of my editors at the New York Times, and I'm happy to have him back. We are going to be talking about winter accessories, scarves, hat, gloves, but really, this is my sneaky way. It's like sneaking vegetables into brownies. This is my sneaky way of shoehorning a discussion of the Wash Water Wednesday phenomenon into an episode of Ask a Clean Person the podcast. And before we even get into that, which I think this is like sort of tangential to the Wash Water thing.
Mm-hmm.
I already knew this because you actually told me this on the last CleanCast episode that you did with me.
Yeah.
That Tim used to leave his dirty gym clothes literally hanging in the office at the New York Times. Like, he would drape them over railings at the New York Times. Like, what in the hell is going on at the New York Times, Tim?
Like, I want to, like, speak up in defense for myself, but there's no defense. Like, that is literally what I do. Like, I get, like, in the office after going SoulCycle in the morning, I would get my clothes out of the little plastic bags, drape them on the window, and, like, that's it. It's indefensible. I acknowledge that. I will say, when I started doing this, I had my own little corner in the office, so I was kind of alone over there. And then when other people moved in, that's when I kind of put the end to it.
I should probably not.
Maybe wrap that up. Yeah.
So poor Tim got, like, dragged up down on Twitter today.
Of all the weeks, you guys can't cut me some slack.
Meanwhile, I'm reading this and I was like, poor Tim, like, guys. That's why I push him over the edge.
Terrible, like. Terrible. And now I get to come here, we can revisit it. Great.
Yeah, we can. So out of all of that, we've decided, like, you know, now I have a new fantasy in life, right? So Tim decided that he wanted to convert. They have a nap room, and he decided he wanted to, like, convert his nap room into, like, a washing facility. And I was like,
this is my dream.
I was like, you guys, I have ideas. Like, I want to please let me do this. Please, 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 please.
Honestly, it would be amazing.
I think in the bonus episode today, we will spend a little time talking about the my imagination.
Perfect.
Just like,
you can map that
crazy.
Out. Amazing. Perfect.
And I was like threatening. I was like, we can film it and it'll be my reel for my HGTV fantasy show.
It would be so good.
All right. Before we can do that, though, we have to talk about cleaning your scarves and your gloves and your hats and all of that stuff, because Yes, you should be doing that. Tis the season. Although yesterday it was 75 degrees in New York, so who knows what the hell season it is anymore? Like, what is going on in the world? All righty, so let us answer this first question from Allison. I'm going to have you read it, Tim.
All right. Allison asks, "Dear clean person, any helpful hints for washing scarves? They're a mainstay of my winter wardrobe, and I'm guessing they get pretty dirty. Is there a good way to wash them in the washing machine? Better by hand? Thanks." I love this question. I deeply feel this question. And I know I've probably told you about this IRL at some point.
Mm-hmm, but
I
you have.
I have this one.
And I'm glad you brought it up because if you didn't, I was going to.
Yes. We need to revisit this. I have this one, like, really nice white scarf. And it's, like, the only, like, nice scarf that I have. Mm-hmm. But I've had it for years. And, like, it's nice. Like, I wear it all the time. Mm-hmm. But I've never washed it. So it's
and it's white.
Pretty, and it's white. And, like, you can, like, kind of see it's a little dingy. Oh, but, like, it's nice, so I don't want to ruin it. So I just, like, honestly, my solution has been not to wear it this season.
Okay. Well, that's not a good solution.
I know. And it's just, like, wasting away in a drawer somewhere. And it's so nice.
All right. Well, we're going to fix that. You're going to – you this weekend, you are going to treat yourself to...
You are just fixing my life, right? Yeah. This is great.
You're going to work through your grief.
By hand cleaning.
By hand washing some items.
Perfect. I'm so glad to be here. It's saving my life.
I literally – so I today had, like, I think, you know, I think it's partly – I just got back from LA on a red eye and I'm exhausted and it's pouring rain today. And, like, I also just got to spend 5 days with my best friend and his dogs. And now I'm not with my best friend and his dogs. And I had, like, a weird – bout of depression today, which I feel like I've been saying every single week. Like, I'm like, oh, it's nothing, not to worry about me. It's just a little blip
just
in the room. Like, every week, I'm like, oh, I'm falling apart. My life is terrible. It's meaningless. And so I decided that I was going to cheer myself up. I was going to wash my kitchen floor on my hands and knees, which I did.
Great.
And, you know, it did a little bit cheer me up, I have to say. Like, it, you know, there is something to be said for, like, just getting an activity in when you're feeling down. Yes. Just like,
I so fully agree with that. I literally yesterday, I've been working from home all week and I, like, deep cleaned my entire apartment.
I know,
as
you
we
told
were tweeting
me that
about.
Too.
And, like, honestly, like, felt great doing it. And now I have a clean apartment.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. It makes you feel better. Okay. So let us talk about the scarf. So we're mostly going to talk about scarves that are either wool or cashmere, you know, the natural animal fibers, or cottons or synthetics.
Mm-hmm.
Those all of them can be both machine washed or hand washed. If you have a really fine scarf, like, you know, a really delicate cashmere, you're probably going to want to opt to hand wash it.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of ways to machine wash even those kinds of things without jacking them up completely. So let me tell you about the machine washing instructions first, because I know that that's going to be what most people are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a perfectly fine option. And in fact, I think that's usually what I don't even think I've worn a scarf this year.
It really?
Hasn't been, like,
that has been weird.
All that
otherwise.
Cold.
Right. Just like a couple weird random snows.
Yeah. And I feel like maybe when it's been really, really cold, I've been wearing my big heavy coat that has, like, a big furry collar.
You know what? Now that you mention it, I feel like I haven't worn a lot of scarves either this
year. Yeah. I have one.
Totally true.
I have one scarf that I know I've worn a couple times because there are pictures of me on Instagram in it.
Uh-huh.
So I know I've worn it, but I think I've worn it, like, 4 times.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, sorry, I digress. Yes, usually what I do is I do the machine washing.
Mm-hmm.
And also, just to completely level, when I do hand wash, it's usually because I, like, want wash water.
Oh, yeah, of
it.
Course. Right. Yeah. Of course. Most important.
Which is a great incentive. So here are the instructions. It's like, the longtime listeners are already, like, bracing. They're like, I know what this is going to say.
We all know where this is leading.
Yeah, cold water, mesh bag, delicate cycle, air dry. Jolie, we know, but not everyone knows. So here's what you're going to do. Yes, you're going to use cold water for all of these.
Mm-hmm.
The big, big, big thing, do not skip this one step, please, 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 is that especially with scarves, you've really got to put them in one of those zip-up mesh washing bags.
Yeah.
Because the scarf is like a snake, and it will coil itself around other things in the wash unless you contain it. So, and you guys, snake update, I am getting the snake. I was waiting until after my LA trip because I didn't want to leave her alone without me so soon into our relationship, I was worried she would have attachment issues. But I'm going to like a reptile expo with a friend.
Wait.
And yeah, so I'm getting a pet snake.
Amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's like so Joel-ish. I'm really excited about this.
Well, of course you are.
Yeah. What other pet would I have?
Although, is your Roomba going to be jealous?
I hope the snake eats the Roomba. I'd like to see that.
Glad we're
actually
at that point now.
Oh my God, the Roomba and I are really just,
complicated relationship.
So angry with
have.
The Roomba at all times. I came home the other night, it had acted up. And totally acted up while I was away. And I was just screaming at it like in a full Boston accent.
Why are you not like Facebook Live-ing
this? I took a video of it. It's on Twitter.
Can we get out of here and watch that?
I'll find it and send it to you.
Of course.
I'm completely losing my mind.
Incredible. I can just like picture you screaming at a Roomba.
I was so mad.
What was the offense here? What were you so upset about?
It had stopped like in the midst. So one of its new tricks is that it doesn't like to go into its docking base.
Okay.
I have to like scream at it all the time. Mm-hmm.
And that helps.
It certainly listens to me. So it had like stopped in the middle of the room instead of returning to its home base. And I came home and I found it this way. And I was like, oh, Christine, go to your base. Like, I was like, just screaming at this thing.
You just slip into it so naturally.
And then I was like hitting all its buttons to try to get it to go back to its base. And it started vacuuming all over again. I was like, you already did that, Bar. What are you doing? Go back to your base.
It
was like being at Fenway. God. Go back to your base. Like, oh, my God. Which reminds me. I'm so glad I've been trying to remind myself all day because I forgot to put it in my show notes.
Uh-huh.
But you guys, this is your Lamob reminder that Let's All Make Our Beds, my March bed making challenge, is coming up. This is your heads up. This episode is going to air at the end of February. Our first Lamob episode is going to feature a friend of the show and fan favorite, Josh Gondelman. That was why
amazing.
Fenway reminded me.
Great.
So Josh and Asta will be back for the kickoff of Lamob, and I've got some other really, really fun plans for that month. So, but just to get you guys all like thinking about whether you're going to commit to this, do you make your bed every day, Tim? I already know the answer.
You know,
no. I could see.
Can we just skip that?
Okay.
Question?
Will you do Lamob with me?
I will.
Okay.
That I definitely.
Okay.
Will.
Good. Cool. Let's see if we can get the rest of the Smarter Living team together.
Great. Yeah. We'll put
this
it in the newsletter.
This will be
this
a good challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be a really good challenge.
Beautiful synergy happening right now.
See, this is how I do. This is how I get you guys. I try to make it into a fun game. All right. Where were we? We were talking about our scarves. Oh, the mesh bag.
Oh yes.
Okay. So you have got to put it in the mesh bag because otherwise it's gonna turn into a boa constrictor.
That's what we're talking about. Snakes, right? Full circle.
And it's gonna swallow your Roomba that you've put in the wash because it needs to be cleaned out because it's a dirty naughty boy. So the thing is about the not having it contained in the bag is it not only will it tangle around other stuff, but the friction from being loose in the wash with other items will cause pilling. And then you'll have like a pilly frayed looking scarf and I can help you fix that. But like, why don't we just avoid it and all of that stuff? If you do, I mean, scarves are probably, if they're, you know, natural fiber like cashmere wool, they probably will pill over time. And you guys know my favorite deep piller tool is the Gleaner, Gleener. Have we talked about this thing? Have you ever seen this?
I think
you
pulled it out of your magic bag once.
I don't carry it in my magic bag.
Oh.
You're thinking of the Flint lint roller.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, this
yes.
is the deep piller, which
oh.
is different.
Oh.
So I describe the difference between pills and lint as being like pills are come from like they're internal. They like spring up from the fabric and lint is external. It attaches to the fabric from something else.
That's kind of a beautiful little metaphor.
Isn't it pretty good? I mean, I probably could have stated it a little more eloquently right there, but I'll work on it. Okay, so we don't want pilling. If you do get pilling, the Gleaner is a good one. There's also that little shaver thing, the Nitpicks, K-N-I-T, Nitpicks battery-operated shaver. That thing is like, that's like $3.99, and the Gleaner is like $19.99. So price point difference. I like to give options.
Great.
One other good thing to do that will help to prevent pilling and other kinds of damage is to wash the scarf with other like fabrics. So don't wash the scarf with heavy duty items like jeans or sweatshirts that are going to like bang around. Like wash it with like your like socks and underwear and pajamas, like all the little stuff.
Yeah.
And, like to like, you know, lightweight t-shirts and blah, blah, blah. After washing, go air dry it. Don't put, if it's synthetic, you can put it in the dryer on low or medium heat. But if it's cashmere, if it's wool, if it's cotton, just let it air dry because you don't want it to shrink up and then it will be like a little snake scarf.
A little baby snake.
Someone asked me if I was going to knit scarves for my snake and I was like, don't give me ideas.
Do people do that?
Yeah, there are like little snake outfits, like
snake
little hats.
Snake outfits?
Yeah, I've Googled this.
What? That sounds amazing. You are going to do this, right?
I mean, look, I'm already completely leaning into crazy. I feel like at this stage of the game, like, why not?
What's a little snake hat at this point? Let's be honest here, okay? We're pretty much there already. Let's just go full in here.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you just got to embrace it at this stage in the game. So, AirDroid, the thing is actually, I have like a little... I have a little chore for you guys. No, it's chore. That's not right. I have like a little test thing that I want you guys to start doing. When you start taking your clothes out of the washer to transfer them to the dryer or to let them air dry, I want you to like put your hands on them and notice how relatively wet or dry they are. Clothes actually come out of the machine not super wet. They're not dripping. If they are, there's something's gone wrong in the cycle.
Yeah.
So especially with scarves, which are small items, they're going to air dry in like no time at all. So go ahead and air dry them. Now let's talk about how often to be doing this. I definitely want you guys to be washing your scarves, especially your scarves. Definitely also your gloves. Your hat's a little bit less so, but scarves and gloves, I really want you to be washing them once or twice a season.
Oh, okay. That's very reasonable.
So, I mean, if we say like... Maybe three times. I mean, it kind of depends also how long your winter is.
Yeah.
So maybe every like 8 to 10 weeks. Oh, does that sound fair?
That sounds totally fair.
Okay. And I definitely want you to wash them at the end of the season before you put them away in storage. That's really, really important. Tim, we're going to.
We're gonna live
in the land of make believe where
yes, I absolutely will do that, Joey. That was already on my to-do list, so you don't need to tell me about this schedule. I'm on top of this.
Okay. the reason I want you guys to do that is because if you put things into storage with stains on them or just with sort of you know, built up grime and so on and so forth, is that as they sit, those stains are going to oxidize and they're going to lead to permanent damage, and then your scarf is going to be no good. So that is a really good thing to do. The other time I want you to always, always, always be washing, especially your scarf, is after you've been sick. I think everybody at this stage in the game is aware that this has been a particularly heinous flu season.
Mm-hmm.
If you have had the flu and you are having a hard time recovering from it, even this particularly virulent strain, I would like you to... ask yourself when the last time you washed your scarf was, and also think about when the last time you washed your sheets were, because you're probably just like giving yourself flu over and over and over again because you keep re-inhaling your flu-y germs.
I feel like that monologue was a little bit of a subtweet, but that's okay.
No, it wasn't. No, because you have a sinus infection, not the flu.
And I will say, when I was a kid, my mom was really, really aggressive about laundering everything when we were sick, and of all things,
your mom is my hero.
She loves you, by the way. Like, if she knew how much we talked about her, she would be thrilled.
Okay,
I'm gonna send her this episode.
Bring her on the show.
They might come out for Christmas.
That's right. We talked about that.
Yeah, they would love.
Which also, I told my mom that because I was telling her that I had recommended Diker Heights, and she goes, Joel's honestly one of the top 10 highlights of my life. The woman has seen the Taj Mahal. I was like, she's traveled the globe. Like, literally, my parents are huge, huge, huge travelers.
Yeah,
and I was like, and the lights, Christmas lights at Diker Heights.
You know, I've been in New York for 10 years now. I've never gone. Every year, I'm like, oh, I'll go this year.
All right, well, this Christmas.
When my parents come out,
yeah,
I'll take
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I think we should team up, because my parents, I think, are going to come back this
That'd
year.
That'd be amazing.
They loved it so much. Like,
and my parents love that stuff. Like, every time I'm in Colorado for Christmas, they always take me around, like, show the neighborhoods and all that.
Yeah.
They love it.
Yeah. It's, that's been, like, our family tradition. Christmas Eve is a big, big thing in my family.
Oh, yeah.
And not in the, like, we don't do the Feast of the Seven Fishes. We go look at Christmas lights on Christmas Eve. That's our Christmas
Eve. Same. We always do, too. Yeah, when I was a kid growing up. Anyway, that was a long way of saying I washed my sheets last night.
Good.
Because I'm sick.
Good. Yeah, well, I mean, listen, sinus infections are different because they're not viral. Like, right. It's not a virus thing. But good. Also, it does make you feel a little bit better after you've been sick to have clean sheets.
Yes.
There is also that. Okay. So let me give you the hand washing instructions if you're going to do that. And also, I would like to encourage you to do that for a reason I'm going to get into when I end this question. So basically, kind of the same as the machine washing. And like these are, you know, my standard hand washing instructions. Cool water, a small amount of detergent. When I say a small amount of detergent, I mean small. I mean like a quarter of a teaspoon small. If you overuse detergent when you're hand washing, you're just going to rinse forever because you're not going to get the suds out. So like you can always add more in if you need more, but if you like make a huge bubble bath in your sink, you're just going to be rinsing for ages. Right. So don't do that. And I don't want you guys leaving soap residue in the scarf because one, it can be an irritant to skin. Mm-hmm. And then two, that is still considered laundry soil. Like if you have, this is a comparison I make. If someone handed you a plate that had visible dish soap residue on it, you would be like, this isn't clean. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with your laundry. If it has soap residue in it, it's not clean.
Yeah.
So anyway, I want it to be clean. Okay, small amount of detergent. You're going to put the scarf in and you're going to do, I usually like describe it as like CPR on your hand, your hand washes. Like you're kind of going to like pump up and down on the garment so that it gets fully submerged and it also becomes fully saturated with the detergent tea water. And actually, Tim, you've watched me do this.
Yes, I have.
Because we filmed something that we ended up not using. Wait, when is the laundry guide coming out?
It's coming. We're just waiting on art now, and it looks amazing, I will say.
Okay, good. So
it's so close. That's so funny. I knew it could come up. We're so close.
Yeah, okay. So I have a massive laundry guide that has all the hand washing instructions in it that's coming out in the New York Times soon.
Next month.
So in March?
In March.
Okay, in March. Good.
Great.
And did I have stuff in there about bedding? I think I wrote this thing so long, I literally don't even remember.
We're talking about 2014 now. I'm sure, right?
I think there was. So good. So there'll be like a Le Mob tie-in too, which will be good.
Perfect.
Okay. So all of the super detailed hand washing instructions are going to be in this. It's a monster post, you guys. It's 4,000 words.
It's amazing.
It's basically a book. Okay. So you're going to do the CPR pump. You're going to let the item soak. If it's very dingy or very soiled, like Tim's white scarf, you're going to let it soak. And if it's not, if, you know, especially if it's cashmere, unless you have to soak it, it's best not to soak it. That it doesn't matter so much with cottons and stuff like that, but with woolens and cashmeres and alpacas and et cetera, try not to soak them overly long. It's not a huge deal if you do, but they those kinds of fibers don't love to be overhandled, including soaking. Then you're going to drain the wash water and you're going to rinse the scarf very, very well. Again, you don't want to leave your soap residue in there. Roll it up one more step. Then you're going to drain your rinse water and you're going to press down on it to extrude water. What you are not going to do is you are not going to wring the scarf. Tim just did a wringing motion. He knows because he knows. Because he watched me do this thing where I was like, don't bring it! Essa! you guys, I haven't... My new thing is I like suck down a go-go squeeze packet before I start recording. And the natural shivers makes me like
this.
Wild. I am like
eating baby food out here.
It's delicious. I'm hungry. Shout out to one of my sponsors. Okay, so you're not gonna wring it. You're gonna press down to extrude water, and then you are going to roll it up in a dry towel, which is going to like basically do like a second drying cycle kind of thing. And then you're just going to let it like air dry, lay it flat to air dry.
Great.
with scarves. But best idea to lay it flat rather than to hang dry it, because the weight of the wet fabric will like pull and stretch down on it. So just lay it flat. That's the best thing. Okay, and now comes the best part of all of this. If you choose to do the hand washing portion instead of the machine washing portion of festivities, when you are about to move from the soak cycle to the rinse cycle, mm-hmm. you can do my favorite thing in the world, and you can snap a photo of the dirty wash water, and you can tweet it to me with the hashtag Wash Water Wednesday.
Wash Water Wednesday.
Or you can also email it to me. A lot of people now email me stuff. Either they're like, sometimes it's stuff they're like, I wanted to share this, but I didn't want it to be from my Twitter. Like, I'm like, that's all right, girl. Send it my way, you know. And my friends text me things a lot, and so I'm always like, oh, can I put this on Twitter? And they're like, of course you can. So that's fun. Okay, we've got this this next question. Is from Arnold. I'm going to have you read this one.
All right. Arnold writes, Hi, Julie. Winter has arrived, or at least the cold has, and I want to buy a pair of leather gloves. I've never bothered about caring or cleaning for leather before, but I recently purchased a pair of leather boots, so since then I've been educating myself, of course, with the help of your columns.
Yay.
But when searching for the perfect pair of gloves at a reasonable price, one of the product descriptions said, quote, dry clean by a leather specialist, unquote. What black magic are they doing that couldn't be done by the not as unwashed anymore masses at home? Is it a matter of mind-numbing precision that takes an inordinate amount of time? Is it chemicals used that could conk out an average bear from 20 feet away? Thank you in advance, and in the past, Arnold.
I loved that sign-off. Thank you in advance, and in the past.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
I was like, that's great.
That's lovely.
That was really
Arnold,
lovely.
Arnold, shout out. Well done, Arnold.
Great letter.
That's a great question.
It is a great question. No, there's literally nothing that a leather specialist is doing that you can't do at home.
Yeah, but...
So I'll start off with this one, and I owe you guys a full episode on this, and I'm totally blanking. There was someone who one of my guests in the past, I would say three or so months,
mm-hmm.
who asked me about dry cleaning, and I was like, it's kind of a myth, and they were like, I want to come back and have you explain why dry cleaning is a myth, and I was like, we will do that. I have it. I mean, it's not a myth.
I'm intrigued already.
Dry cleaning itself is real.
Yeah, but it does exist.
It does exist. I've seen it. But dry clean only is kind of a myth.
Whoa.
And I've written about it before, but I feel like it's actually such a good podcast topic episode
because
it's kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who the guest was. I'm totally blanking, but I know that I have a note on it somewhere.
Oh, that is good.
Yeah.
That's real good.
I know who it was. It was James Dell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh, great.
James Dell. That was who it was.
That's good. That is a podcast.
Yeah.
You got to do
that's
that.
That's not only a podcast.
That's amazing.
So, okay. So it's kind of a myth. You don't need to send these to a specialist. Here's literally all you need to clean those leather gloves. You just need to get a bottle of leather cleaner and conditioner.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. So the brand I use is Cadillac. There are lots of really, really good brands out there. To use it, what you're going to do is you are going to apply some of the leather cleaner and conditioner. It's like a two-in-one product, like shampoo and conditioner in one.
Yeah.
Which, please, I don't ever use
those. You're thinking of myths, right?
That's a myth.
That is a myth.
That is a myth. But leather cleaner and conditioner is not a myth. A little bit goes a long way. A bottle is probably going to run you between like $7 and $10. A little bit is going to go a long way. You can use it on gloves, shoes, handbags, mm-hmm. like saddles. So whatever you got out there.
Arnold asked about his leather boots. You can use that on his leather boots.
You can use it on his leather boots. A little bit goes a long way. So what you want to do is, I mean, for a pair of gloves, you probably only need like a pea-sized amount.
Yeah.
Because they're small. Obviously, for shoes, you need a little bit more. But really, a little bit goes a long way. What you want to do is you want to apply it onto a soft cloth. I use an old like ankle sock. It was like a pair that I bought for the gym that were too thick and I didn't like them.
Socks were too thick.
So
I feel like I've never heard that complaint about socks.
My feet get claustrophobic.
I have crazy claustrophobia.
Right. Yeah, that's why I can't use a top. Yeah, that's why I can't use a top sheet.
Wait, really? Is that
why? I have weirdly specific claustrophobia.
Whoa.
Yeah, because my feet need to rove in the night.
Oh, that I get. Top sheets are, that's a controversial issue.
They are. Actually, last week when Kate Dries was here, we were talking about that.
Oh, yeah.
I had like things to say to her about it because she thinks that the only people who don't use top sheets are super bro-y guys.
Oh, I was just going to say single men. Yeah.
And I was like, I was just going to say, in fairness, I am a super bro-y guy.
No, I feel like
that's I'm really fussy about my bed. I mean, I feel like the one place in life where I'm not super bro-y is about my bed. Like, I'm so fussy about my damn bed.
What else are you fussy about your bed? So you don't use a top sheet at all. You just don't tuck it in.
No, I don't use a top sheet at all. Yeah. I use a duvet with a duvet cover, and I launder the duvet cover every single week.
Yeah.
Which makes people wild because they're like, you're putting a duvet cover on every single week? I'm like, oh, you think I don't have a twerk? Come on now. Come on.
Yeah,
have
we met? That's not really.
Have we met?
That's a pretty low level.
But the other thing is, and this isn't why I do it, but it's like an added benefit of it, is that it actually makes making the bed super, super easy.
Right.
Like, I add on layers of complication because, again, I'm me. I'm fussy about my bed, and I like... you know, have to turn it into a whole affair. But actually, like, yeah, it's really easy to make my bed. I just, like, straighten the duvet and put the pillows back in place. And
I use a top sheet, but it always just, like, ends up crumpled at the bottom of the bed.
Because your feet need to roam free in the night.
And I totally get that. Like, when I have it, like, I don't like it tucked in. It's like that episode of Seinfeld when they're in the hotel, one tuck, one no tuck.
What if during Le Mob you also experiment with being a no top sheet person?
Oh. But see, the reason that I still use a top sheet is that, like, I feel like it's a barrier between my body and the blankets.
Right.
So it keeps the blankets cleaner.
Yeah.
But is that true? Like, am I just inventing that?
No.
Is that a myth also?
No, that is that is true. But that's why I'm saying, like, I use a duvet cover that I just take off and launder every week the same way that most people launder a top sheet.
Yeah, every week, as we all do.
But, oh, damn. Don't.
I watched it last night, so I'm in good graces right now. It only been 4 months.
I know. But... you don't have to do it ever. It's the goal or standard is to put fresh sheets on the bed once a week to once every other week.
Yeah.
Every other week is fine.
Okay.
I have a sheet washing scale also. And like the end of the scale is like clutches pearls. But I'll go through all of that in Le Mob because that's a little bit.
I'm so excited about that now.
Good. See, I'm
this
see
is great. This, I'm jazzed,
again,
man.
This is how I get people. All right, let's go back to the leather.
Oh yeah, right. What are we talking about here? Top sheets, Le Mob.
Okay, so dry clean only is kind of a myth. Leather cleaner and conditioner is really all you need. The sock
that's too thick.
Yeah, right. It's too thick. Oh, that's because my feet need to roam free. And then, yeah, the tangents
just going
on the
wide
show.
With this here today, man.
I contain multitudes. I like using the sock because I put it on like I put it in my hand like a mitten, and then I can just work in a circular motion. You work the leather and cleaner and conditioner in, and then I just like rotate the sock over to the clean, dry side, and
you guys can't see this, but Jolie is physically
showing
cleaning the leather right now with her hands. And the sock is a perfect fit. It's the perfect
thickness.
It's
like
it's great
with my long, crazy claws too, right? The crazy claws are going soon.
They look
actually.
Great.
I know. I'm feeling sad that they have to go, but they have to go. It's time.
They have to go.
Sometimes you got to just trim them down and start all over again. And I cracked one while I was traveling, and it's time. It's the whole thing. But I feel very sad and heartbroken about it. All right, here's the last thing I want to say to you guys about leather care. Tim, you're gonna love this. You don't even know that this is coming. This is synergy. Ready? The wire cutter.
Oh, beautiful! A New York Times company that reviews and recommends products.
Thank you. The wire cutter has a guide, a great guide, really, really good guide. Actually, it's one of my favorite ones. It's up there with the vacuum one.
Oh yeah,
the vacuum one,
is really, really good.
Sublime. Has a guide to shoe and leather care products. That's really, really good, and has a lot of instruction about how to use those products. So I would also send you guys over there to check that out. And On that note, this is a good time for us to take a quick break. Tim and I will be right back with more of your winter accessory care problems and God knows what else we're going to be talking
we're
about.
We're going to come back to the sock. Is where we're
this is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and I'm joined by Tim Herrera. We've been talking about your winter accessories and socks.
We're just covering it all today.
Snakes.
Oh, yeah. We got to come back to the snake hats. We didn't fully unpack that. We have a lot of ground to cover here, Jolie, still.
I know. I just want to have to make this podcast like a 2-hour shebang.
Right? Like, are we even talking about cleaning anymore?
All right. We've got one more winter accessory question from Dave in northern Wisconsin. He adds in his thank you in his ending. I was like, what's so
northern Wisconsin?
Like, yeah, I was like, all right, well, let's get your hat fixed up, Dave, in northern Wisconsin. Jeez. All right. So, Tim, I'm going to have you read this.
All righty. Dave writes, "Hi, Jolie. I've been following your teachings for a couple of years now, and you are definitely my go-to person to find out how to clean things that no one else knows about." Same, Dave. "I have a hat for several years now. It is made of wool and is in the style of Stormy Cromer." I had to Google that. I didn't know what that meant when I first saw that question.
I actually didn't know either.
No,
and
I
didn't even Google it. Can you tell us what it was?
It's like, you know those, like, what you would picture when you see those, like, hunter hats that are, like, wool and have, like, the ear flaps that wrap around the front.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's the Stormy Cromer. Okay. I've never even heard that term.
No.
Anyways, Dave has his Stormy Cromer hat. "I also have oily skin, and the hat had gotten rather dirty and greasy just from wearing it. The tag says to dry clean only, so that's what I did. I brought it to the local cleaners, and when I got it back, it had shrunk considerably. Oof. It is now uncomfortably snug on my head when I wear it. It also came back with some what appeared to be chemical stains on the underside of the brim. I don't believe there is anything that the cleaning company can do to fix this hat, but what I'm wondering is, with similar hats in the future, is there a way to clean them myself using non-dry cleaning methods? I hate to pay $35 for a hat only to be able to wear it until it gets dirty once. Thanks, Dave in northern Wisconsin." Dave.
Dave, man, listen, I'm sorry that happened to your hat.
It's a tragic tale.
That is kind of a tragic tale. Hmm. I mean, especially in northern Wisconsin, man, you need your hat.
Right, you Stormy Cromer hat.
You need your hat. You're going to end up like Tim with a sinus infection. Fluish sheets.
Life is hard, Jolie.
No, just teasing you. I tease because
the
I love.
The roast continues, man. I just cannot.
Listen, I was
cannot get
you.
A break. You were. You did have my back when all these others are ganging up on me of all the weeks, Jolie.
Okay, so here's a before I get into the washing instructions. I want to say this. Dave, you're right that the cleaner probably cannot fix the damage that's been caused to the hat, especially because it shrunk. There is a product called Unshrink It. I had the founder of that company on the show like 100,000 years ago, like an early episode. And she's she developed the product as part of a project at Harvard Business School.
Cool.
And she went on Shark Tank and she got funding.
What?
Yeah, I mean, and
that's
she's
amazing.
Really, yeah, she's really cool. And the product really does work. It doesn't work on all fabrics. I think it may only work on wool and not cotton, and I'm not sure what this hat is made of. So like there are things you can there is a product on the market that can reverse shrinking, but it's not that it's probably in this case it's probably not worth doing.
Yeah.
But what you should do is you should go back to the cleaner and you should say you shrunk this.
Yeah.
And you should see if they can reimburse you for the cost of the hat.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, look, the reality is that damage sometimes does happen when you send things out. And, you know, that's reality. But also you should feel free as a consumer to go be polite, obviously.
Yeah.
But to go back and say, like, you damaged this in the course of cleaning. And is there anything you can do for me? So that with that out of the way. But, you know, again, be polite. Because mistakes happen and damage happens, and it's not like they like meant to do this.
Right.
You don't have to like go and like, I was going to say guns blazing, but I don't want to say that this week. Ugh. Don't go in with an attitude. How about that?
There we go.
Okay. So just like with the scarves and mm-hmm. with gloves, or, you know, as long as the gloves, we're talking about like the like wool and cotton gloves and stuff like that. Now don't wash your leather gloves in the machine. But if you've got a hat that's made of wool, cotton, fleece, like any one of those, you can either hand wash it or you can machine wash it. The instructions are the same. Even though it's not as critical with hats to use the mesh washing bag, I would suggest you do it anyway. Because, again, you don't want it to get pilly and, mm-hmm. you know, dinged up, and think about what other stuff you're washing it with and so on and so forth. But basically follow those same machine washing instructions for the scarves. Same thing with the hat. You can follow if you want to, or sorry, same thing with the hand washing.
Yeah.
With the hat as with the scarf. I don't know where my mind just went. I was like scanning my notes. Don't try to talk and read at the same time, Jolie.
It's one of those weeks, man.
I need another go-go squeeze. the good thing about the hat that is more true of hats than it is of definitely of gloves, probably of scarves, is that hats will have more buildup on them. So they will have both oil buildup, which is the term for that is sebum.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which is a disgusting
That's
word.
That's such a gross word.
Yeah.
That's like the stuff you squeeze out of your nose, right?
Yeah, and yeah. it's like, I love gross things, but that's not one of the gross things I love.
Oh,
like,
that is surprising.
Yeah,
I'm very
weird?
Surprised to hear that, because you do love gross things.
Oh my God, I love gross things.
It's like your thing.
It's totally my thing. It was funny, actually, after I finish this question, we're going to get into like the real stuff I want to talk to you about today, which is the wash water stuff. And I was doing a super deep dive into my personal archives. And I found it.
Personal archives of disgusting things.
I was on Instagram. I was on Twitter. I was going
everywhere.
I was going through old episodes, and I found there was an old tweet from when I had Maureen O'Connor on the show.
Oh
once.
Yeah.
And apparently, like on the show, we were talking about fetishes,
uh-huh.
and she was like, "Jolie, I think your fetish is dirty wash water." And I was like, "Oh my God, it totally is!" And
that oh, it was totally
that,
is.
That was how like we identified that,
exactly
that like this
yes.
is like actually my fetish. Great,
it's good to know. Know yourself.
Yeah,
right?
know thyself.
Uh-huh.
So with hats,
back to hats,
Jolie, focus. The sebum buildup, the oil, I'm going to call it oil buildup.
Yeah.
As well as product buildup from stuff like dry shampoo, mm-hmm. gel, mm-hmm. hairspray, like pomades,
yeah.
like all of that kind of stuff is going to muck up your hats in ways that probably your gloves and scarves aren't really being subjected to. Now, of course, your gloves and scarves have, especially your gloves, because they're touching everything.
Yeah.
They have all kinds of other issues. But really, like, the hat thing is going to produce some pretty righteous wash water. So to the extent that you're like interested in experimenting with hand washing something, a hat is a really, really good thing to start with, because it's small and super easy.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's probably going to make some really, really good
real
wash
gross,
water.
Right?
Yeah. It's going to be real gross. And then everyone is going to be really, really happy. One other thing to say about hats. Now, it's not going to be a problem for Dave in Northern Wisconsin. Well, maybe it will. I don't know.
We don't know Dave's life.
I don't know his life. That's right. Actually, I shouldn't be gender essentialist about this, because I know plenty of men who wear makeup. But makeup for women and men who wear makeup. And this is also true of scarves. I know that like especially like the collars of my winter coats always have my bronzer all over them.
Mm.
If you need to treat makeup stains, rubbing alcohol is a thing for that.
Great.
Yeah. So, and actually, you know what? the last time Maureen was here, not when we were talking about my water fetish. We may have talked about my water fetish. She had a question for me about, it was summertime, and she had a question for me. She had a white baseball cap that had her makeup all over the brim.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she was like, what do I do about this? And I was like, oh, rubbing alcohol, and then you wash it. I was like, can wash it, and send me the wash water.
I will say, like, I never know, like, what to do with baseball caps. Like, I have this, like, grimy, like, super grimy Kansas City Royals baseball cap, go Royals, and... she's like literally
laughing.
Bouncing
so
with excitement
excited.
Over this.
I'm so excited. We're
like,
going to hand
gets
wash
that,
it.
Like that gross like film like right where the bill meets the hat. Yep. It's like a sweat ring. Yeah. Like I like again like as with all things I just trash it and buy a new one.
No.
Well, what do you do with that? Is you it throw the rubbing alcohol in that?
Well, that's a little bit that's actually a whole other can of worms
that's
because the well, I'll have you back in the summer. We'll just do that one.
Great. Experiment on that.
But the thing is that a lot of times if you leave the sweat too long, because sweat is acidic, it will have a bleaching effect. And then you've got color loss, and color loss isn't reversible from cleaning methods. You have to over-dye it.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. But we will talk about that.
We'll get back to that one.
It's a popular subject. And actually, baseball cap water produces really, really gnarly water.
Again.
I have kind of like a mental taxonomy of like what items produce the best water.
I know we'll get to that later.
Yeah, we're going to get to it.
I did want to ask that.
let me finish up the...
Dave in Northern Wisconsin.
The instructions for Dave. So basically, the hand washing is the best bet. Machine washing is fine. You know, treat your stains with whatever is appropriate. So if it's makeup, use rubbing alcohol. If you've got, you know, like Dave basically has protein stains because it's come out of him, right? Mm-hmm. So sweat and oil.
Yeah.
He might want to use an enzymatic cleaner like Zout, or my newest one that I'm on.
A new one.
It's called Crud Cutter.
Oh, great name.
Yeah, which is a great name.
Crud Cutter.
Crud Cutter with a K. Both words are with a K.
K. Why do we need a K?
I don't know.
I don't
but
get it. I like it.
It somehow makes it better for me.
Crud Cutter with K's.
And the formula you specifically want, because Crud Cutter offers like a whole bunch of different formulas, the one that you want is the sports stain remover.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
So, okay. So, Dave, you're going to be fine. I'm not going to worry about you. I'm sorry that happened to your hat, but you're going to go get a new one, mm-hmm. and you're going to clean it all on your own, and the cleaner is not going to ruin it, and you are going to be A-okay. All right. Now we get to do...
Now we've arrived.
So I wanted to talk to you guys about the phenomenon.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
I mean, at this stage in the game, it is. I have to say, I am shocked every week at how many... submissions I have.
It's crazy.
Like, it's at least like a half a dozen every single week. If you think about it, that means a half a dozen people not only are hand washing, but they're taking photos and tweeting it to me. So
right.
I'm wondering like how many more people out there every week are hand washing and not taking the photos
step.
Or forgetting. And I do hear from people a lot actually.
Yeah.
Who are like, damn it. I hand washed something this week and I forgot to take a photo. Like, shit, next time. I'm sorry. And I'm like, oh, it's okay. I feel sad every time someone tells me that. I'm like,
missed opportunity. It is funny that, like, what a thing it is. Like, I remember, like, when I first, like, started, like, seeing it around, like, seeing, like, you tweeted about it here and there. I was like, that's kind of weird. But, like, it really, like, is an actual, like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, like, core to your identity at this point.
I know. So I figured I would talk a little bit about the history of how this came to be. And then I also wanted, because there's a philosophy behind why I do it.
Oh, yes.
That I had actually thought that I had never really talked about before, but it turns out I have. And in the course of trying to unravel the like official history of the wash water, it's like basically an oral history of wash water Wednesday.
Right. We're going deep here, man. Wow.
In the course of trying to unravel it, I actually realized that I have articulated why I do this thing. And I had forgotten about it because it was so long ago. It was in, I think it was October of 2015 on this show.
Uh-huh.
It was episode 17. And just to put this in context, you guys, we're on episode 106. So this was a long time ago. So I'll tell you. And actually, I'm also hoping that there might be some Ask a Clean Person super fans out there who remember and can unearth this thing in a way that I couldn't, because sometimes this happens.
Yeah.
I put out a call on Twitter, and I did have some people chime in, and I've been like combing my archives. But Twitter's search is like such garbage that, and it wasn't on Instagram. I might have archived it on Instagram. Like, I got to go look. I don't know.
Right.
Keep clawing through all this. But I think the genesis of the wash water was that several years ago, I took down my white curtains and I soaked them in the bathtub before I was laundering them. Like, I did the soak, the Jolie Care long soak.
Long soak, sure.
And when I went in to visit them to make sure that they were doing okay in their bubble bath, I pulled them kind of like aside, like in the water to like sort of like agitate them and so on. And I was like, oh my God, the wash water. It was like, I describe it as being the color. Well, and I think this is in the bit that Tim and I are going to read, as being the color of the sky right before a tornado.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And it had left, the curtains had left a ring around my tub.
Yeah.
And I was like, sweet, merciful Jesus.
It's like a revelation for you.
God. So I took a picture of it and I posted it somewhere online now that I now can't find.
We got to go dig that up.
And so I asked on Twitter, I was like, do any super fans remember the genesis of this? I think it might be me posting a photo of my curtains. I was like, but it may well have been one of my hockey gear jaunts that I like to go on.
Okay.
And I had a bunch of people chime in, and a bunch of them were like, I think it was the curtains. I think it was like people like have some like.
Well, I mean, that would kind of stick out in your memory.
Yeah, some like recall of this. Right. And then another listener was like, I'm pretty sure the first time you asked for the photos was in the hockey gear episode. And I was like, indeed, actually, that is true. And I know that because in the meantime, I had got, as I was going through all of my like archival footage out there, I mean, this was like a crazy deep dive that I was doing into my own personal history. It's like my own personal family tree. I actually went back to episode 17 and I found the segment where indeed I talked about the wash water. And I even transcribed it. So this has been edited a little bit. But Tim is going to play the role of my guest from that episode. And we're gonna
this is amazing role play.
We're gonna role play. Yeah, this,
going deep.
This
again
is like
here.
It's a play within a play. It's a podcast within a podcast. Okay, so I was going through all the instructions of how to wash hockey equipment. And I was talking about how you can machine wash stuff or you can hand wash it like in the bathtub.
Yeah.
And here is what I said. I said, take a photo of the water and tweet it to me, please. My Twitter handle is @JolieCare, JOLIEKER. Like, I literally, I'm so excited. I spelled it out.
You're going to get all these pictures of people drowning their equipment in a tub.
I love the color of the dirty water after soaking something that's been very soiled. I describe it as the color of the sky before a tornado hits. It's this horrible yellow-green color, and I love it. I totally get off on it.
Disgusting.
But I get off on gross things.
That's pretty gross. That's so succinct. Really cuts to the core here. That is pretty gross.
I'm pretty gross. Well, here's the other thing. There are going to be guys who are going to listen to this and they're going to be so excited about tweeting me the gross out picture. I'm tricking them into washing their hockey pads. Do you see what I've done here? I'm a genius. And I literally said that.
Changing lives out here, man.
I'm a genius. I'm also very humble.
I'm a genius. That is incredible.
So there we go. So I know that at least as of October 7th, 2015, from episode 17, Hockey Talk, I was soliciting these photos.
Yeah.
And so what happened from between 2015 and sometime around the middle of 2017, so for about 2 years, Me sharing the photos on Twitter was ad hoc. People would tweet them at me, and I would retweet them. And then,
how frequently were people sharing then?
Frequently, but not like crazy.
The movement hadn't fully started yet,
right? And I think part of what happened was that I relaunched the show in the fall of 2016.
Yeah.
And I think when I relaunched the show, people started sending me more wash water photos because I would talk about it on the show. And also just because podcasting is so much more of an intimate medium in terms of people feeling like a connection to me because my voice is literally in their head when they listen. And so I think it started snowballing a bit. And by the spring of 2017... Yeah. I was getting a lot, and I was feeling worried that I was spamming people's timelines with these gross photos that maybe they didn't want to see.
Yeah.
But I knew that more people wanted to see them than not.
It is amazing. Yes, as a consumer, I can say that it's not a worry.
So I decided that the time had come to create a dedicated hashtag for this stuff so that if people wanted to mute it, they could mute it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's very considerate.
And then also to create a specific day on which I would share all of them at once.
Mm-hmm.
So that, again, like, it wasn't like people were just waking up on a Tuesday morning like, ah, oh, some lady was soaking her bras again. Like, everywhere. Yeah, good morning. I could really go for another cup of coffee now. Great. So I came up with the idea to, like, I asked, I was like, do you guys want, I was like, what do you guys think about this day? And people were like, I love it. And I was like, okay, we'll do it on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
The hashtag will be Washwater Wednesday.
Great.
And then since I've done that, now it's become an even bigger thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, it's like, it's kind of it's official. It feels
it's
official.
It's a thing, man.
If you have a hashtag, it's official. It's like,
hashtag official. Right.
So, I mean, already you guys, you know, because we Tim and I just did the role play of basically me saying this. But the idea behind me doing all of this was one, just that I love gross things.
Definitely,
like,
yes.
And, you know, in my own life, I was so delighted by that curtain water.
Delighted, yes.
That
I feel like it was a revelation for you.
Yeah,
like,
that I was
that's like your holy water. You found it, right? Like, I feel like that's what we're really getting at here.
With
your fetish and your religion, honestly.
I'm going to start blessing people with dirty wash water when I start my cult. Because you know this is a cult, too.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah, clearly.
I mean,
yeah,
this
yeah.
is a cult.
Oh, I'm in.
So like, it was so delightful for me that I was like, well, maybe other people will delight in this, you know? I mean, you know, I do a lot of my writing for men also, and I was like, I feel like the guys will especially.
Yeah, gross stuff.
And actually the women, I mean, they love it too. So again, I'm being gender essentialist. But it was like one of those things, like the baseball caps were big. And obviously the hockey gear, and obviously women wear both. But I was like just trying to like appeal.
Yeah.
Appeal to an audience because I might, you know, I always want to find new ways, especially to like engage men in cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of my big personal things is to try to like solve the gender gap in cleaning. I'm going to single-handedly do that. I believe it. So yeah, so I'm always looking for ways to engage. And then the other thing is that it was a way to get people excited about trying hand washing,
mm-hmm.
or trying the long soak, or trying handsies and kneesies of cleaning their floor, or whatever thing it is that was going to produce this wash water, that you know, once they tried it, they would see that it wasn't really so hard or so daunting a chore. Like, if you've never tried hand washing, you're probably like, oh my god, that's I'm gonna mess up. But
it is kind of intimidating if you don't do it regularly.
It is intimidating,
for sure.
Except you've seen me do it, and you know that it's like literally the most straightforward thing in the world.
right. Well, when I have expert personal guidance here.
Yeah, but you saw what I was doing. It was
you're doing the CPR.
The CPR.
Now that I know CPR.
The CPR is literally the most complicated thing of the whole endeavor. It really is very, very, very simple. But yeah, it was a way to sort of like, yeah, I mean, trick people.
I do love that. It's amazing.
Into trying something that then they would find out was, one, like, not so daunting and scary.
Yeah.
And two, also, that they would be like, that's kind of satisfying.
Right.
And,
it's super, yeah.
And it goes into something that you and I talked about when we did the Q&A for your newsletter about the stain removal.
Oh, yes.
So Tim closed out this Q&A that he did with me. I'd done an article for the Times during the holidays about, you know, holiday stains.
Mm-hmm.
And we did kind of this, like, Q&A based on that. And he closed out the newsletter Q&A by asking me if I had any advice for the new year as we go into 2018.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I said was that I wanted people to think about cleaning in a slightly different way, to think about it as something that you do for yourself rather than as what we typically think of cleaning, which is something that you do because someone else tells you you have to, or someone else shames you into doing it. And I kind of want people to ditch that attitude. And I want them to think of cleaning as something that they do for themselves, because it's a way to take care of their things that are important to them, or it's a way to make their life better because they've come home to a made bed, or they've come home to a clean house, and that feels good, not because you're doing it for someone else, because you've done it for yourself. And so that's sort of another thing about the quote unquote tricking people, is that if I can get you to do hand washing, or, you know, again, handsies and kneesies, or whatever it is that you're doing that produces wash water, the reason you're doing it is because you want to take the photo to send to me. You're getting something out of it.
Everybody,
right?
Wins.
I'm giving you a reward.
Win,
yeah, then I win too. Right. So that's really a lot of the reason for the wash water stuff. And it really has taken off. And I have the best note to close all of this out on, which is that, so we're recording this on a Thursday, which means that yesterday was Wash Water Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And someone tweeted at me that she has come up with the official cocktail of Wash Water Wednesday.
Oh, God.
It is called the Handsies and Kneesies.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
This is made up by Twitter user Jazzy Narwhals. And here is the recipe. It is shadow vodka, which is like black vodka.
Shadow vodka.
Black vodka.
What?
With peach nectar and a splash of tonic. And Jazzy describes it as, she describes it thusly, quote, "As with most wash water, it looks revolting, but is so satisfying."
That is beautiful.
I know. So now we have a Jolly Care drinking game, and we have a Jolly Care cocktail.
Official drink beer. That is amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
I
was so tickled, and it really looked like wash water. It was gray.
Oh my God, that is amazing.
But it was really funny. And actually, I have to say, it sounds delicious.
Yeah, that's great. Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah. So there you have it.
You have the greatest fans. Look at that. Making official drinks out here.
I really do have the greatest fans.
I will say that was a lovely philosophy on cleaning.
Oh, thank you.
That was great.
Thank you.
I don't know if I've ever heard you kind of, you know, go on about your outlook on it. That was lovely.
Yeah.
That was great.
Thank you.
I'm glad we got into that.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it kind of came out of you asking me that question.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
that was very lovely. I loved how we were able to end that.
Yeah, it was a good end. Yeah. Well, and then I also said, "And make your beds." But
which
of course,
I also do every day, as we know.
Well, you will.
In the mob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited for you to Le Mob.
Yeah, me too.
So wait, we have to like sign everybody in our little team up for this.
I'm in.
We gotta get everyone to commit to it.
Yeah.
I think this is really gonna be good.
Yeah.
I wonder if we should do something at the end of the month. I would love to write about everybody's experience.
Yeah, it'd be really fun.
Yeah, I think because that's the thing. I've been doing this for a long time, and so I kind of have my old standards of like the stuff I talk about on the show with bed making. I mean, there's always new stuff.
Right.
I got you guys. I have some great Le Mob questions for this year. I got one that I was like, it literally came in 2 days ago, and I was like, yes. I was like, flagging this one for Gondelman.
I'm so excited
I
for
know,
that.
Yeah.
That's so good.
But yeah, so I have like kind of my standard stuff. But like one thing that I've never really done with the whole Le Mob thing is I've never done a dedicated piece or podcast episode to the effects that it's had on people after the fact.
Yeah.
Because, like, when I end in March, I'm kind of like, all right, I don't want to talk about bed making for another year. And it would be a thing that I would have to do in April because it would have to be after the end of the full month of it.
Yeah.
So I actually feel like that would be a really fun, great story.
Yeah.
You guys see how I'm getting work out of him? Give me more work. Alrighty. So on that manipulative note.
The real reason I'm here. Yes. Great.
That'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. If you like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards I'm offering to my listeners. And as a reminder, on the bonus episode today, we're going to be talking about how Tim hangs his gym clothes all over the office of the New York Times.
No regrets. No regrets about this.
And about how I'm going to redecorate the nap room.
We have big plans out here.
I would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes, leave a rating, and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to my listeners for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. Hey, you guys, it's Jolie. I'm super excited that GoGo Squeeze is sponsoring Ask a Clean Person, the podcast, because here is a thing I hear about all the time from parents. My car is a mess from the snacks my kids eat while I'm driving them around. Or my kid's applesauce exploded in my bag a week ago. How do I clean rotten applesauce out of a leather tote? It makes me sad when I hear these things. But I love GoGo Squeeze because it's such a perfect thing when you need a quick snack for your kids. They're great to pack as snacks or in a lunchbox. And the clean packaging means no more spills or spoiled food in your bags. I have a real thing about purse food, but I know that parents have to have purse food on them. That's part of being a parent is purse food. And GoGo Squeeze is great purse food because it's not going to explode in your purse. It's also made from 100% fruit and no artificial anything. And parents love that because it's 2018 and we're all pretty aware, hopefully, of what we're putting in ourselves and in our kids. It also comes in a reclosable on-the-go pouch, which makes it super convenient, too. If your kid doesn't finish everything in one go, you're not wasting food. And again, you're not spilling things in your purse, and that's great. GoGo Squeeze, you guys, comes in 25 different varieties. And let us talk about the flavors, because there are so many good ones. I just had apple, straight purest apple, right before I recorded. I needed a little pick-me-up before I recorded. And it was great. It's easy. Easy to eat, delicious. They come in 13 applesauce flavors. 13 flavors of applesauce. Who knew there were even 13 flavors of applesauce to be found in this world? Well, GoGo Squeeze knew. There are 4 kinds of yogurt and 8 fruit and vegetable varieties. They also have great names. You guys know I love a good name. The fruit and vegetable ones are amazing. So here's another thing about the fruit and vegetable ones. They're fruit flavor, but they've got vegetables like snuck in them. So your kids won't actually know that they're eating vegetables, and you don't have to tell them. I won't tell them. I won't rat on you, I promise. these are my favorite of the fruit and vegetable names. Boatin' Banana, Zippin' Zingin' Pear, and Petal Peach. I love it. It's so fun to say. Boatin' Banana. I feel like I've been walking around all day just wanting to shout Boatin' Banana at people. I also love bananas, as you guys know. They are made with 100% fruit and vegetables with just a splash of juice in them. And if you can't choose a flavor, because how could you possibly choose a flavor? GoGo Squeeze offers variety packs. Love that. GoGo Squeeze is also not just convenient on the go because of the resealable pouches. They also do not need to be refrigerated. Although, as we were just saying, because we had our GoGo Squeezes in the refrigerator because we were like, we like them cold. So you can refrigerate them and make them cold, but you don't have to. That also includes the yogurts. The yogurts are shelf stable and they do not have to be refrigerated, which is super, super convenient because that means that you can stash a variety pack in your pantry or even in the trunk of your car. Yes, there's a life hack for you parents. Got applesauce hanging out in the car. You got yogurt hanging out in the back of the car. It's not going to go bad. That way, you will always have snacks on hand for your kids or for yourself. Like, I just had to have one because I didn't bring a snack to the studio and I was hungry. So say you're running late to yoga after dropping the kids off at school. You can grab an applesauce. They literally come in 13 different flavors. Here are some of them. apple pumpkin spice, like that appeals to the yoga set, right? It's like if you can't make it to Starbucks for your pumpkin spice latte, you can have a pumpkin spice go-go squeeze. Delish. Apple raspberry lemon twist, which just sounds like so fancy and sophisticated to me. It sounds like a mocktail. Like it sounds like a mocktail that you would get at like Villa Blanca in Beverly Hills. And I love this one. It's called Gimme Five, which is a great name. It is a blend of apples, mangoes, strawberries, peaches, and bananas. Five things. There you go. Gimme five. Gimme five, man. Go-Go Squeeze has been making quality goodness for happier and healthier families since 2008. The products are available at most major retailers like Walmart, Target, Amazon, Kroger, Safeway, and ShopRite. Or you can check their website at gogosqueeze.com/products to purchase directly from them. That is gogosqueeze, GOGOSQUEEZ.com, gogosqueeze.com. You can also head over to their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/gogo.squeeze. SQUEEZ for coupons. You want a little discount? Want to save some money? Yeah, why not? Who doesn't want to do that? Are you guys feeling social? You can check out GoGo Squeeze on Twitter and Instagram. The handle is GoGo Squeeze, GOGOSQUEEZ. And you can also submit photos of you and your adorable kids enjoying your favorite flavors using the hashtag GoGo Squeeze, and you might get featured on Instagram, which would be fun. I know that one of my podcast listeners tweeted a photo of me of him taking his daughter to school in the morning, and she was eating her GoGo Squeeze, and it was about the cutest thing I've ever seen. So I have to like note to self, go back and tell him to submit that to GoGo Squeeze because it was super cute. So yeah, just like we love GoGo Squeeze. It's clean food, it's clean packaging. I'm a clean person, love it. GoGo Squeeze is goodness on the go.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.